It's a sunny Friday evening in Columbus, Ohio. About 60 people, mostly dressed in union t-shirts and jeans, are milling around the offices of the AFL-CIO. Many of these folks came here after a long week on the job, but there's more work to be done tonight. With only 5 weeks to go before Election Day, the order of the evening is phone banking and door knocking, talking to as many potential voters as possible to warn them about what's being seen as a threat to the very existence of Ohio's working class.
Nobody's fooled. Everyone knows what this is. It's an attack on working people.
Mike Gillis is a communications officer for the Ohio AFL-CIO. He says opposition to Senate Bill 5 has united private and public sector unions in a way never seen before.
It's trying to limit their ability to collectively bargain and organize as working people, so it would diminish their ability to fight for their interests in the elections and elsewhere.
The volunteers organized tonight will be asking Ohioans to vote no on Issue 2. That's the referendum in question, which would veto Senate Bill 5. SB 5 would limit collective bargaining rights of more than 350,000 public workers and force some to pay more in pension and health care costs. After Ohio's Republican-controlled legislature passed SB 5 by a single vote in March, volunteers took to the streets and collected an unprecedented 1.3 million signatures to put a veto of the bill on the ballot, almost five times the number of signatures needed.
As soon as this bill came out of the governor's signature, people were already engaged in saying, what can we do? How can we stop this? And so we had more than 10,000 volunteers out on the ground with petition booklets and getting people to sign.
Melissa Fizakis is a spokesperson for We Are Ohio, the labor movement's main group campaigning for a veto.
And we turned in all these signatures, and literally the next day, I started getting emails and phone calls from people saying, all right, I collected signatures, now what do I do? And it was July. People just couldn't wait.
Senate Bill 5 proponents claim the law will help city governments use funds more efficiently and put public workers' health care and pension costs in line with private sector workers. If this sounds a lot like the battle that took place in Wisconsin earlier this year, that's because it is. The legislation would have similar ramifications. The ideology comes from a like-minded conservative governor. In Wisconsin, it was Scott Walker. In Ohio, it's newly elected John Kasich. And the money to fund the Yes on 5 campaign itself is also coming from similar sources.
Ohioans deserve to know who's paying for these battles. And when they see a TV commercial, they should know, okay, who's behind this and what's their agenda? And they don't.
Building a Better Ohio, a GOP-linked group spearheading the campaign in support of SB 5, set up a separate nonprofit fundraising arm to avoid revealing its contributors and finances. In one of their more controversial ads, they used video of Cincinnati resident Marlene Quinn talking about how firefighters saved her granddaughter Zoe.
If not for the firefighters, we wouldn't have our Zoe today.
She's right. By voting no on Issue 2, our safety will be threatened. Without Issue 2, communities will need to lay off hardworking firefighters to pay for the excessive benefits of other government employees.
But that video of grandmother Marlene Quinn had actually been taken from a We Are Ohio ad opposing Senate Bill 5 and edited to make the opposite case. Here's the original.
If not for the firefighters, we wouldn't have our Zoe today. That's why it is so important to vote no on Issue 2.
Another recent ad featuring Governor Kasich doesn't specifically mention Issue 2. As a result, Make Ohio Great, the group funding the ad, doesn't have to disclose information about their finances to the Secretary of State's office. Turns out, Make Ohio Great is a nonprofit project of the Republican Governors Association, or RGA. Neither Building a Better Ohio or the RGA responded to several requests for comment, but even with the numbers that are known, the intertwining paths of money and influence aren't too hard to trace. The RGA spent millions of dollars in 2010 on television ads and mailers to help elect both Kasich in Ohio and Governor Walker in Wisconsin. This came only months after the Supreme Court's ruling in a case known as Citizens United, which opened the doors for corporations and unions to directly spend unlimited amounts, both for and against, political candidates. Corporations have been able to use the RGA as a kind of campaign contribution proxy. Consider Coca-Cola and Walmart, both companies with a record of opposing unions. During the 2010 election, Coca-Cola donated $7,000 directly to Kasich's campaign and $10,000 to his transition fund, but gave $75,000 to the RGA. Walmart donated $90,000 to the RGA, but nothing to Kasich directly. The RGA then used those contributions to pay for ads against Democratic incumbent Governor Ted Strickland, who Kasich defeated by a narrow margin.
It seems he tried to pull a Strickland and got busted. Newspapers said it was accounting errors, gimmicks.
Pulled a Strickland.
Private healthcare, pharmaceutical companies, and other corporations also contributed tens of thousands of dollars to support ads attacking Strickland. Speaking at a rally in October, Tim Berger with the Ohio AFL-CIO said the agenda is to eliminate the middle class.
This is an opportunity for the other side to try to cripple organized labor so Wall Street, the super wealthy, and corporate CEOs can have complete control of the public policy agenda to create a permanent low-wage workforce. That's what's at stake here. Okay?
Coca-Cola and Walmart are members of the American Legislative Exchange Council, abbreviated ALEC. ALEC brings together state legislators and corporate leaders from companies like Bayer, Pfizer, and ExxonMobil to draft model bills for state legislators seeking to advance a conservative pro-business agenda. Governor Kasich is an alumni of ALEC, and in 2010, ALEC companies donated more than $500,000 to him and other Republican legislators that supported Senate Bill 5. Mike Gillis from the AFL-CIO says legislation like Senate Bill 5 is part of the bang companies get for their campaign bucks.
It's no coincidence that all these attacks come at exactly the same time and across a bunch of battleground states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, and others. They're seeing the same types of laws being passed in the state legislatures and signed by their governors, who are often in the pocket of the same people.
But the Ohio bill's authors may have made a fatal misstep in their political calculus. While Wisconsin's now infamous anti-union law exempted police and firefighters, those first responders are included in the Ohio bill, and they're not happy about the idea of losing their right to negotiate on their own working conditions. Cincinnati firefighter Doug Stern has been speaking at rallies across the state.
Senate Bill 5, now issue 2, is unfair. Unsafe attack on Ohio's first responders, like myself, that put every man, woman, and child in this state at risk. I'm a firefighter, let me tell you what I know. I know how many firefighters we need on a fire truck. I know how many firefighters it takes to put out a fire and to rescue someone when time is critical. Any law that takes away the professional voice of firefighters, it's unsafe to the community, and we will not stand by and let it happen.
There's a traditional understanding of Ohio that there's about 8 or 9 blue counties and about 80 red counties. But when the Republican legislature passed Senate Bill 5, they really started cannibalizing their own base.
Chris Harsh is an organizer with Stand Up for Ohio, a group leading the grassroots campaign to veto Senate Bill 5.
They started going after the policemen and the firemen and the teachers in those rural areas that, by traditional analysis, had voted one-third Republican. And when the Republican Party targeted them as the cause of our economic problems, they really stepped on their own foot.
Larry Cohen, president of the Communications Workers of America, told volunteers preparing to knock on doors that the grassroots movement in Ohio is part of something bigger.
You're leading a movement here. You're not just fighting back. We're building a movement. Those students in Madison, they were building a movement, and we followed them, right? Those young workers that are in the park on, you know, fighting Wall Street, occupying Wall Street, they're fighting back.
Many Ohioans have clearly been energized, and the no side has been ahead in the polls for months. But money has also been a major factor. With almost $4 million coming from national union offices to We Are Ohio as of mid-October, the pro-union campaign had actually spent more on television ads than their corporate-funded opponents. But labor activists are expecting to be outspent in the campaign's final weeks, and experts estimate the total cost of the Issue 2 campaigns could run between $33 and $40 million. Whichever side prevails, There are likely to be many more expensive campaign battles in Ohio and across the country in years to come, meaning the ultimate loser could be democracy itself. For Making Contact, in partnership with Truthout, I'm Mike Ludwig in Columbus, Ohio.